Well, good morning, everyone. I have got just a few announcements as we get started on this wonderful pre-Thanksgiving Sunday morning. First announcement is we are going to be decorating the church coming up very soon. We'll be putting the big tree up in the social hall again and the tree in the front hall and getting some greenery in. We still need greenery, and I believe Kirsten is looking for white and gold and silver ornaments and decorations. We're trying to keep a little more neutral this year, so if you have anything you want to donate, please see Kirsten Johnson. If you want to help decorate, please see Kirsten Johnson. Just go see Kirsten. Today we are going to be talking about Guest at Your Table, which is the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee's social justice project every year. They pick a series of partners, and we collect money through the Guest at Your Table program. I'll be explaining the program in detail during the children's story, but you may notice this year that you have the Stories of Hope packet out in the pews. This tells the stories of who we are partnering with this year. And you also, this is a change, you have the Guest at Your Table envelopes. The UUA has decided to no longer do the Guest at Your Table boxes to pre-make those for the kids to put together. They are now giving us these lovely decorative envelopes. They come in a variety of colors, black and white. And so I will repeat this during the children's story, but if you wish to just go ahead and make your donation to Guest at Your Table in one lump rather than doing it over a period of weeks, you are welcome to put this in your envelope today. Make sure a check is put in the memo line that it's for Guest at Your Table. Put it in the envelope. Don't just toss it in the offering basket. And then once you put it in the envelope, you're welcome to toss it in the offering baskets when they go around. And again, I'll be explaining that more during the children's story. The next announcement is a little bit bigger. I received a letter from the UUA this past week, which said that we here at Lake Country UU have been selected as one of four breakthrough congregations in the UUA. So they will be sending a reporter from UU World who will probably be here on December 14th to see our service and to talk with us. We're going to have a write-up in UU World, and they are probably going to do a study guide over how we've done some things like our path to membership, which they find is truly worthwhile. So you need to be very, very proud of yourselves. We are one of four congregations. And the last announcement I have today is that starting in February, one of the things we are going to be doing, or that I will ask you to do, is that we are going to start the missioning and visioning process. It's been a long time since we have visited our mission statement, which is quite large. So one of the things that churches are urged to do at intervals is to revisit that statement, make sure it still expresses who you are. And an additional piece of that I will ask you is to try to combine who we are and our mission statement and get a one-sentence shortened version that we can use. Who are we? If someone asks us what we're doing in the world, what's that one line that we would say, this is who we are? So between now and February, when we're going to have our first meeting on this, if you get a chance, get a copy of our current mission statement, read it again, begin thinking about it. If you could condense that into one statement, what would you say? If you could reword it, how would you do that? And we will hold a meeting sometime at the end of February to start talking about what our mission looks like and what our vision for who we are going to be in the world, what that looks like. And I think that's very exciting. And that is all the announcements I have. So thank you for listening. Thank you. All too often, we pace the geometries of our walled gardens, believing we are transversing the whole of creation. With spirits of discovery, let us uncover the mysteries nested in our routines. With the eagerness of children, let us seek out the secrets unfolding in our peripheral vision. Let us behold each fellow creature with reverence. Let us greet each day with praise and thanksgiving. For life is a gift of incomprehensible magnitude. Our lives are voyages with unknowable destinations. Along the way, let us meet and kiss and challenge and support one another. Let us fashion a network of mutuality and extend it into the larger world. In these ways, we forge lives of goodness and beauty. In these ways, we know the life of prayer. Come, let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hi or introduce yourself to your neighbor.
Hymn number 1010, We Give Thanks. The words are in your program. Michelle, our choir director, is going to explain what we're going to do for this one today. The words you will be singing are printed in your order of service.
Thank you. You actually don't need to open up your hymnals at all. It might confuse you if you do. The children helped me think of some things that they are thankful for, and so they helped me write some new lyrics that we will sing for our first verse. And then in the second verse, they will be singing the words that you see printed in the program, except they're going to show you how they'll have some kids being leaders and some kids being echoers. And then when we get to the third verse, all of the children's choir will be the leaders, and I will turn around and conduct all of you to be the echoers. And all you have to do is read those lyrics that are printed in your program. So watch for the cue. That's all you have to do.
Close we wear, for our family, and
Country Universalist, Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything that we do. My name is Mark Brewer, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever they are on life's journey, and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. Today is our special potluck Thanksgiving dinner. Please join us, even if you didn't bring anything. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics that may make a sound or a beep that you have with you here today. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are so pleased that you've chosen to celebrate and worship with us. Thank you.
One of the ways that we try to take care of our community is by contributing to local food pantries financially and by collecting non-perishable food items, because what our neighbor needs today could be what we need tomorrow. If you've brought food items to give, please bring them forward or ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. Trying something a little different with the microphone and hoping that you can't hear my stole on it like you normally can. Is it sounding okay? Well, good morning. Today is the day that we start our Guest at the Table program for this year. And Guest at Your Table is something that we do as Unitarian Universalists to help get money to people who are doing really good work to save the planet. As I said in the announcements before the service, you do have envelopes and Stories of Hope packets in the pews. If you choose to make a donation today rather than to do it over time, you can do that. Just make sure you label checks, Guest at Your Table, and put them in the envelope rather than just tossing them in the offering plate. So how this works is this. Between now and December 14, if you all want to do Guest at Your Table, you keep an envelope at home where you set up a bowl or a jar, and you toss in money that you might have spent on things to eat. Maybe on a candy bar that you really shouldn't have. Maybe on a little bit of Starbucks coffee. Maybe on that extra trip out to McDonald's, maybe on going out to eat one time more this month than you could have. Whatever it is, maybe you just ask your parents, hey, you got any pocket change? Stuff you didn't spend on getting that extra cup of coffee today, would you put it in my Guest at Your Table bowl? And by December 14th, you bring whatever you collected back in here to church and we send it in to help people. And I'm going to talk a little bit about one of the people that we are working to help this year. Last year, we managed to raise almost $900, this little church of ours. And it would be marvelous if we could get close to that again this year, because I like to brag. So one of the people that we are helping this year is a man named Chrysantas Nwadihi, which is a great name. And he lives in Kenya, in the rainforest. Any of you all know what a rainforest is?
Yeah.
All right, tell me about it. What is it? Yep. Ecologically rich. A lot of creatures live there. Very shady. Yeah. Very tall trees. Uh-huh. And
mangoes,
other fruit, vegetables. But the problem is, in Kenya, where Chrysantas lived, the people weren't paying attention to all the things that grow and all the animals that live in there. The rainforest was all around their houses, and they figured out that they could cut down the trees and turn the rainforest into charcoal. Any of you guys know what charcoal is? What do you use it for? Use it for starting fires. So, somebody volunteer who wants to come here. All right, anybody come here. I want you guys to lift. How heavy is this bag? Pretty heavy.
I can use the scale.
Okay. 5 pounds? Okay. You can try. What do you think? Hold on, don't drop it on his head. He weighs about what your baby brother does. Okay. Yes, you can try. Let me grab it just a minute. Hold on, I got one volunteer. Hold on, I'll let you guys try. That's heavy, isn't it? It's here. Isabella was going to try. Hold on. All right, you try. Is that heavy? So instead of a tree growing big and tall, you guys going to try? Thank you. Instead of a tree going big and tall. All right. You going to try? Kind of heavy, huh? So kids just your age started out pretty easy. They would walk to right at the edge of their town. So as far as from me to that stained glass window. And their mom or their dad would cut down a tree and they would start a big fire. And they would burn the tree up. And when they'd get done, that tree would make about 5 bags of this. And every kid would get handed a bag about this size and they'd have to carry it back to the village and then the men would take it off to be sold. So can you imagine walking from here to that window and back carrying one of these? Does that sound too bad? No, not too bad. Now here's the problem. After a couple years, they had burned up all the trees. So they had to go further out. And each year it went further and further. So can you imagine walking from here to the edge of our parking lot, carrying one of these back? And then twice the length of our parking lot.
Yeah.
And then a mile.
No.
And then 5 miles.
No.
No. Well, then a worse problem started. Every time they burned off the trees, they killed off the mangoes. They killed off the other things that were growing. They killed off the animals. And the chemicals that they were using to try to make plants grow where they had killed it off were killing the water. So now there was another piece. Every morning, each kid would get handed 2 of these. And I want somebody to come try lifting 2 of those. Is that any fun? Oh, I got a strong man. All right, a couple more. Try lifting. Uh-oh, that one's heavy. Yep, you can try. All right, try real quick, guys, because we got a bunch of people. Is that heavy? Strong man. Got it? Oh, he can do it one-handed. All right, let Isabella try. Kai, can you hand him Isabella? This heavy? Sort of. All right. Uh-oh, that's kind of heavy, isn't it? So every day, moms and dads would hand their kids 2 of these, and they'd have to carry them that 1 mile or 5 miles out to where the trees were, so that the men working and burning would have something to drink. Then they'd have to walk a mile or 2 further to get more fresh water, and the kids would have to carry it back, and now they had to carry this too on their backs. Well, people were getting tired and sick and miserable. So Chrysanthus had an idea. He started to teach the people. He got all the people together and he explained that it was the chemicals they were pouring on stuff that was what was killing the water and making people sick and have to carry the fresh water for miles. He showed them how to use cow manure. You guys know what cow manure is?
Yeah.
He showed him how to gather up fresh cow manure and use that instead of the poisonous chemicals. It's a lot easier carrying a bunch of cow poop than it is carrying all this water, long distances. He explained about replanting trees as they cut them so that every couple years you could start over again close to the village. And people listened. It's been 4 years now since he started his program, and trees are growing in all those empty spaces, and the mangoes are coming back, and the other fruit is coming back. The animals are coming back. And it's all because he had an idea of how to stop little kids and their parents from having to carry all this water and all this charcoal for mile after mile. So if you do guests at your table this year, that is partially where your money is going. And for anybody who's really interested, there's all kinds of wonderful pictures that Bill Schultz took the last time he was in Kenya, showing the children planting the new trees and carrying the water. And it's wonderful seeing what they've managed to accomplish. So thank you all for listening to my story today and for helping me weigh this stuff. And I'm going to have you guys just go back to your seat because we're not sitting out today. Normally, I tell a joke before the offertory, but for our Thanksgiving service, I would like to be a little more serious. I want to talk just for a minute about all the things we have done since this time last year. You've had your first full year with a called full-time minister, and I am thankful. You had a successful stewardship campaign. You had a wonderful choir director retire, and you got another wonderful choir director and a music director. You got a new youth RE. I'm thankful. Through the hard work of many people, you made our bathrooms ADA compliant, remodeled the minister's office, put in an accessible bubbler. You built a new sound booth for the sanctuary. You donated over 1,000 pounds of food to local food pantries. Almost $900 to the UUA's 2013 Guest at Your Table program. And I am so thankful. You filled bags with food for children who didn't have enough to eat on the weekends to help a school program. And you made last year's bag, bear, and blanket program a success, and you're doing it again this year. You volunteered at the Hope Center. You sent clothing and coats and underwear to people who needed them. You fed meals. You've made family promise a reality, and you're preparing to host homeless families for the first time in just a few weeks. I am so thankful. Your caring circle and this congregation have been there for families of our own. You've arranged meals. You've visited the sick. You've babysat the children. I am thankful. In the words of Matthew, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me when I was in the hospital. I was in prison and you came to visit me." This year you have lived your values and given your time and your money and your belongings and your hearts. For all that we have done and all that we are going to continue to do, I am so very, very thankful. The morning offering will now be given and received. Thank you. our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community and our world. This is the time in our service where we share our joys and our concerns, and we do this in several ways. You can always light a candle soundlessly before the service over on our candle table. But during the service, we speak them aloud and we light candles together. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Hi, I'm Brian and I light a candle in celebration of myself and Amy being together and married for the last 8 years come Tuesday.
This is Megan. Please light a candle of joy to celebrate the engagement of my stepson Danny to his wonderful young lady Hillary. And we're so excited to be going to Atlanta to visit them to celebrate Thanksgiving and our baby.
Hi, I'm Eric. Sue kindly announced that I was turning 50 this past week, last week, so I'm going to return the favor. Sue will turn 50 this week. And our son Bjorn has a birthday coming up as well. So.
I'm Layla. About a month ago, my 42-year-old sister welcomed a healthy 8-pound boy into the family, and she's healthy, he's healthy, and they came home last night, so I'm excited to see them. They live in Atlanta.
I have a concern. I spoke with my neighbor this morning, and his wife is back in the hospital. She's been battling cancer for like a year. Her intestines shut down. Now she has colitis. It's just, she's such a dear person, and they're such good neighbors, and I'm just really concerned for her. So any prayers or energy that can go to her would be wonderful. Thank you.
This is Kristen. If you could light a candle of joy. You may notice looking around that there are very few teenagers here today, and those that are here are very glassy-eyed. I had the privilege, again, of being part of as an advisor for the YouthCon that was held this weekend at UUCW in Brookfield. And the really special thing was that our youth had co-planned, organized, and led this YouthCon with the UUCW youth. And they just did an amazing job of showing leadership and really planned a event that was so fun and had a great spiritual element to it as well. And a lot of these kids, I was thinking, looking up at them at the choir, a lot of them I knew from very young. So to see them at this age showing this kind of poise and leadership was really awesome. And then I just also wanted to thank, I think I counted up at least 18 adults in our congregation that also participated in either as advisors or planning or leading workshops, food. I think there was some night patrol happening. So it really took a lot of contributions from a lot of people and turned out wonderfully. Thanks.
Hello, I'm John. And about a year ago, at this time, I announced a concern about my nephew, Zachary, who at that time was very sick, having suffered through two forms of leukemia, a bone marrow transplant, and a heart transplant, all before the age of 18. And we really were, they basically got him good enough to go home to hospice, hoping that he would be able to survive through Christmas. Well, lo and behold, Zachary is not only still with us, but he's doing well. And he's planning to be at Pam and my house for Thanksgiving with his family this Thursday. And it's simply amazing and miraculous that Zachary is actually doing well. So I share with joy this year and Thanksgiving and gratitude. Thank you all for your thoughts and prayers as well.
Hi. My name's Janica, and everybody in my family and my loved ones are doing well, so I have a different kind of joy and concern. Well, we, the Earth, the Europeans in particular, just managed to land a probe on a comet flying through the universe, and that took a tremendous amount of planning and expertise. And so I think then, okay, if we can do that, my concern is we really need to work together to save our planet. We really need to vote. No, let's talk about that. We really need to put the effort together to make the changes and make the smart decisions and not go in the way of money, and ensure that our children have an Earth to live on in the future. That's my concern.
I'm Ramona, and I just want to light a candle of joy for my grandmother, who will be 98 this week, and she survived 3 bouts of cancer and is not on any medication, still kicking, and I just wish I could be there with her.
My name is Claire. I also attended the youth con this past weekend, and it was my very first con, and I really loved the experience. I want to give a shout out to all the high schoolers that helped and for those who actually showed up for church today. I know we're all looking a little zombie-ish today, but you guys did an incredible job. I am very impressed with how everybody worked together with you guys as well as the Church West high school kids. It was an amazing event, and I would like to go to future cons because of it.
My name is Quentin. I'd like to light a candle of joy for celebrating 10 wonderful years with my best friend and wife, Alyssa.
Hi, my name is Kaz. I was able to go back to Japan and be able to visit my mother, who is 90 years old, who has been at the nursing home, who has Alzheimer's, and she also suffered from stroke. And this is Joy, and she recognized me and gave me the most wonderful smile that I could get from her, and she tried to talk to me, but she can't. But I just had one beautiful feeling that we connected for that moment.
All right. It's off. I just wanted to say that I've got, I used to have 2 heroes, but they don't compare to my daughter-in-law, who is in my book, the hero, I guess that's the best I can do. And my wife, who does a lot for my hero. So that's all I can say. Oh, and Julie. That's her name. raise your hand.
Hi, this is Scott. Candle concern for my mom. She's got a pretty serious bout of bronchitis, which doesn't necessarily sound so bad, but her lungs are not good to begin with. And I'm kind of struggling a little bit because she's been such a strong person mentally and physically for so long. She's kind of reached a point now where she's getting frail, and it's just hard. And just a little concerned that she might be down for the count a little bit longer than we had thought. Thanks.
This is Angel again. One other thing. I was headed to do an art thing at the YouthCon yesterday and came up on a horrible four-car accident, and the minivan was mangled and sat there for quite a while in watching this, and I was just prayers and energy and wishes for them to all be well and nobody to be injured too badly. But I didn't get there, and instead I sat there and had to pray. So, thank you.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those concerns which we hold deeply, but we're not able to name here.
Today's first reading are two excerpts which go well together. The first is by Melanie Beatty from The Language of Letting Go. And she says, "Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. It turns problems into gifts, failures into successes, the unexpected into perfect timing, and mistakes into important events. It can turn an existence into a real life, and disconnected situations into important and beneficial lessons. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow." The next is a paragraph from the novel Open House by Elizabeth Berg. "I made cranberry sauce, and when it was done, put it into a dark blue bowl for the beautiful contrast. I was thinking doing this about the old ways of gratitude, Indians thanking the deer they'd slain, grace before supper, kneeling before bed. I was thinking that gratitude is too much absent in our lives now, and we need it back. Even if it only takes the form of acknowledging the blue of a bowl against the red cranberry. Here ends the first readings."
Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
Our second reading today is Karen Mezenmeiler's column, Macaroni Art. "I begged my father to take me to the store. It was the day before Christmas, and I had nothing to give my mother except an art project I had brought home from school. It was a picture made with painted macaroni. How embarrassing. Even in kindergarten, I knew that it wasn't a real gift. It wasn't the kind of thing anyone wants. Remembering it, I can still feel the full extent of a 5-year-old's self-criticism and shame. Dad took me to a convenience store and I emptied my piggy bank for a set of plastic drink coasters. One day my mom cleaned under my bed and pulled out the macaroni picture from its hiding place. She showed it to me with questioning eyes. Now I knew what she felt inside, her heart breaking with a sudden rush of tenderness for an injured child. The most profound gifts are the ones that don't measure up to any standard. They are not excellent or grand, but unexciting and ordinary. They may not look like gifts at all, but like failures. No matter how they look, they carry the precious essence of life's true nature, which is love. Between the giver, the recipient, and the gift, there is no separation. This Zen teaching tells us that generosity goes beyond appearances. There's really nothing that divides us, nothing that defines the substance of a gift. All is empty and perfect as it is. We practice this truth by giving what we can whenever it is called for, by taking what is given whenever it is offered. When we give and take wholeheartedly, without judgment, separation is transcended. Stinginess is overcome and greed vanishes. We come to see that everything is already a gift that we have already been given. All that remains is to share it. I love it, my mother said, and it was true. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join us in singing number 407. We're going to sit at the welcome table.
The writer Jean Bell Moseley grew up terribly poor in Missouri. Her books are amazing, and this is a version of her story, The Lights for Thanksgiving. And she tells the story of her dad and his quest for lamps. Her dad was a dreamer and a schemer, and he wasn't always well regarded by the rest of the family, who honestly thought he was a little nuts. He referred to his wife and his mother-in-law and his own children as the practicals, because he was the impractical one and they were thinkers in the box. And one night he came home, and sick and tired of the smelly old kerosene lanterns, he banged his fist on the table and announced boldly, "We have got to get rid of these old lamps. They've got to go. We're going to have gas lights." Sounded good, and no one cared. They didn't pay a bit of attention. Jean's mother said, "Well, all right, when's this going to happen?" You know, she's penciling in somewhere before next century. He rifled through the calendar and thought about it for a minute, and he said, "Okay, next week." Next week. His plans didn't normally work like this. Even the kids pricked their ears up. "Next week. Yep, we can do it next week. We got this." Mother was a little shocked. "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah, we'll have it ready for Thanksgiving, and we'll ask all the neighbors in. They'll be green-eyed with envy." "You sure? I don't think people want to come out on Thanksgiving. It's when families can do that." "They'll come," Dad said. "They'll come when I tell them. It's for the betterment of the whole community, and they need to find out." Her father ran, and he got a bit and brace, and he climbed up on the table, and he proceeded to drill a hole in the ceiling over the table and up into the attic. Cold air immediately started to come in, and there were a variety of humorous comments about the hole. "Sure needs airing out in here," Grandma said, "with all the gas you're putting out. Not going to happen." Jean's mom and Grandma started to talk about all the things that were going to crawl in, fall in, fly in through the hole that he'd let in their roof. A few days later, Jean was shocked when her dad loaded him up on the wagon and went to town, and by God, he bought that light system. Cost him a whole wagon of corn and a fat steer that he figured he could get rid of. He bought it, loaded it up, and they headed for home. And he thought about it, and he decided he had to invite the neighbors as he went by. Might as well get it done and create a little mystery. So as they moved along in the wagon, they stopped at each house they went to. First house, their neighbor, Mr. Britt, was standing out in his field. His house was a wreck. His barn leaned like this. He'd had a storm about 3 years earlier that had wrecked everything. He always said, I don't even know where to start. And this day was no different. When they pulled up, her dad said, "How you doing?" He says, "I don't even know where to start." He said, "Well, how about you start with Thanksgiving?" The guy said, "Thanksgiving? For this mess? Who are you kidding?" He said, No. "I meant Thanksgiving at our house. Why don't you come eat?" The guy said, "You know, we would, but this is the third year we haven't paid the taxes. We're going to lose our land. It's all done. There's nowhere to start anymore. We're going to lose it all. Why come for Thanksgiving? We're going to be moving in about 4 months." And Jean's dad said, "Well, darn it, I had something to benefit the whole community, a surprise." The man still wouldn't come. They got back in the wagon and went on, and the next house they came to, the woman was crying. Their dad said, "What's the matter? I've come by to invite y'all for Thanksgiving. You, your husband, and your boy." And she said, "My boy's not here. We can't afford to send him the money for coming this year. No money for a train ticket. It's the first time in my life my boy hasn't been here for Thanksgiving. We don't want to come. It's too sad." Well, Jean's dad said, "I had something I was going to show the neighbors. You sure?" She said, "Yeah, we can't do it." The next house looked happy, and the entire family were sitting down to dinner. Tom and Polly and Herbert and Aileen and Maggie all around the table. But the rest of the kids weren't there. "Well, hi, folks." Tom got up and he shook hands. He looked at his own kids and said, "All right, three of you, get up. Come on." Jean and her brother and her dad were invited to sit down at the table and eat with them. And they noticed all that was on the table was some baked potatoes. And Jean watched her dad take the biggest one and cut it up and add some salt and pepper. And he even said several times, "What a fine, fine potato this is. Thank you all for such a lovely, lovely lunch." But he finally asked, "Where's the rest of the children?" And Tom said, "Well, they're in bed. We don't know what it is. It ain't like measles or mumps. Doc says it's something with not having enough vitamins. We ain't been able to afford, you know, fruit, vegetables, stuff like that. But that'll be fine. They'll be fine." Jean's dad said, "Well, come on, bring the whole family over for Thanksgiving. We'll give them a great meal. It'll be lovely." "Well, no, they're not going to feel much better. Can't do it." They'd almost made it all the way home with the new lighting in the wagon when Jean's dad drew to a halt and sat in the road silently for a long minute. He turned the wagon around and drove back to town. Jean and her brother were too scared to say anything because they couldn't figure out what in the name of God was going on. And their dad took the lighting system back into the store and came back out, but didn't stop there. He told them they had to sit there quiet. He had some errands to run. And he went off and did a few things by himself and come back and drove them home without a word. They pulled into the house, and even Jean's mom and grandma were quiet. They knew something had happened, but not what. They didn't dare to ask about where the fat steer went or the wagon with corn. They didn't ask where the lighting system was. Nobody wanted to look at the hole in the ceiling, but Jean's grandma couldn't resist. A few days later, she took a broom and stuck it so that it hung and made a pointed comment about the idiocy of people who drilled holes in their ceilings before they had anything to put in there. Her mother dared ask once. She said, I guess the neighbors aren't coming for Thanksgiving." Her father said, "No, they're not." "It's okay. No, they're not. I don't want to talk about it." Thanksgiving Day dawned and it was beautiful. And Jean's mom cooked and Jean cooked and her brother helped. Turkey was perfect and everything was lovely. And it was not their fault that there wasn't enough. There wasn't enough at all. Because the neighbors did show up, all of them. Jean's mom was a little shocked when the first knock came on the door. And it was the man whose farm had been wrecked, and he was in tears, and he brought his wife, and he came carrying loaves of bread, and he said, "I don't know why you did it. I know it had to be you. We'll pay you back. We swear to God, we'll pay you back as soon as we get on our feet." And a few minutes later, there was another knock. And the woman whose son couldn't come home came bursting in the door carrying cherry preserves. And said, "I know it was you. He got home this morning. Thank you. Thank you. We're here. Thank you." A few minutes after that, there was a series of knocks, and there were a bunch of little children everywhere. And the wife of the last family came bustling in and said, "Oh my God, you sent us fruit. You sent us fruit. The kids are going to be okay. It's enough to get through. The doc says it's enough." There was a long moment of silence, and Jean's mom sat down weakly. She glanced at her dad, and he nodded just a little, and he smiled. Grandma opened more cans of beans and some peaches and cut the pie in bits again and again and went and got a spare table from the library. And then the man whose barn had been messed up said, "Now, tell us what that surprise is you wanted to show us all." Her dad looked a little stunned. He'd forgotten what he'd promised. "You mean you ain't seen it yet?" said Grandma. Jean wanted to die. she thought, oh, I'm going to embarrass Dad. And she crawled under the table. It's a symbolic hole, she heard somebody say. She perked up her ears and thought, hey, who understands? And she crawled back out from under the table in time to see her grandma stand up. It stands for the light that Jean's dad has brought into our lives. We all have holes in our lives, don't we? Grandma looked around the table. Holes where something isn't that we had planned to be there. And we had to fill them up with something else until the right thing came along. And Jean looked up at the ceiling and thought about how it was filled up with that railroad ticket home and with 3 years of taxes and a barrel full of fruit. And she heard her grandma say, sometimes the things we fill the holes with turn out better than the thing we had intended. The whole story is much more complex, and it's wonderful, and it's in a book called Wide Meadows, which I recommend. Because thankfulness is a funny thing. If I'd asked Jean's dad what he was thankful for, there are so many answers. I am so thankful for the lights I didn't get. I'm thankful for the neighbors who needed me. I'm thankful that I could help. I'm thankful my child got to see me be the hero, if only for one day. I'm thankful I drilled a hole in the roof. I always used to wince during Thanksgiving celebrations at school when we sat around the lunch table and had to say what we were thankful for, because it usually came down to this: I am thankful for my stuff. And I'm thankful for the people who got me stuff and to the people who gave me emotional stuff like love and support. I have got stuff. Hallelujah, Lord be praised. Only this story isn't about having stuff. Because you see, the stuff we have isn't really our stuff. If you look at the Zen version, it's all property of the universe. It's all been distributed by random chance in a greater world. The universe doesn't spend much time sorting out who gets this stuff and who gets that stuff. And some of us have tons of stuff. We have warm houses and safe food. We don't have to carry those two lousy bowls of water for 5.5 miles. Don't have to go make charcoal. We have jobs and bank accounts. We have flush toilets. Our kids go to school in cars and buses and trains. They have the books and the computers, crayons. Some of us have privilege and some of us don't. Oh Lord, for what I have received, I am truly thankful. Sometimes I don't know how to feel because I have so very much to be thankful for and others have so little. Others of us don't have stuff. Maybe almost no stuff at all, and we do the best we can to get stuff. We might even hang our heads when others try to give us stuff. Because somebody told us once or twice that somehow it's more blessed to give. And we can't give right now, or so we think. But Jean's dad and his hole in the ceiling, he was given something he could not have bought from people who had no stuff at all. He was given stature in the eyes of his family, the respect and love of his community, things that could not be bought or sold or even articulated at that schoolyard. Oh Lord, here's what I'm thankful for. Because giving and receiving both have incredible worth. As human beings, we are called to heal the brokenness in the world, to continue the act of loving creation every day in the world. Giving and receiving are one way to do that. I always love that in Hebrew, the word for charity is translated better as justice. In giving to others, we're performing an act of universal justice, redistributing the possessions of the universe in a way that makes the world feel a little better. And it isn't one-sided, because the person receiving our gift, whatever it is allowing us to be just. Together, we are in this act that brings more love to the world, and we are both blessed. I am thankful every day for the things I've been given by the universe, because through them I can earn the things that fill the hole in my roof. Give joyously and be thankful for a chance to heal the world. Receive joyously because you are allowing someone else to give. And be blessed, because sometimes the things we fill holes with turn out to be better than the thing we had intended. Amen.
We extinguish this chalice and we carry its flame with us so that we might give it away over and over again. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 21 for the beauty of the earth.
Receive, O Spirit of life, Spirit of humanity and love, help us to be truly thankful. Peace, and may it be so. And I would ask that you please remain standing while the children sing our grace before our meal. When they are done, I would ask that you come out on this side where I currently am, the opposite side of normal, so that we can line up to create a dinner line in the hall.
Thank you.